Salam sejahtera anda bersama saya Rizal Zulkapli dan ini Niaga Awal. Ini kita mulakan dengan perkembangan pasaran dalam negara. Bursa Malaysia dijangka diniagakan tinggi minggu ini disokong momentum belian yang menggalakkan. Ini sekaligus meneruskan keuntungan yang diraih pada minggu lepas. Menurut Maybank Investment Bank MBM KLCI, mengakhiri minggu lepas lebih kukuh.
Tambahnya, prestasi memberangsangkan ini telah berjaya menebus kembali kerugian sejak bermulanya tahun 2020 dan merekodkan perolehan 1.73% untuk tahun semasa hingga kini. Boleh berkata indeks penjagaan kesihatan terus mendahului sektor lain selepas mencatatkan keuntungan 4.25% pada Jumaat dan 144.92% untuk tahun semasa hingga kini. Sementara itu, jumlah angka pemulihan yang tinggi pesakit COVID-19 di Malaysia boleh membawa sentimen positif. Ini akan menyaksikan lebih banyak aktiviti ekonomi dengan kebanyakan perniagaan akan kembali beroperasi. Maybank Investment Bank menambah, kegelisahan di pasaran Amerika boleh menjurus kepada aktiviti pengambilan untung dalam kalangan pelabur.
Nah, ringgit dijangka diniagakan berhati-hati berbanding dolar Amerika minggu ini. Menurut penganalisis yang dipetik bernama, pelabur akan memantau rapat perkembangan berkaitan COVID-19 serta pergerakan pasaran minyak.
Ia menjangka ringgit mungkin mencecah paras 4.25 berbanding dolar Amerika sekiranya terdapat penurunan dalam kes jangkitan COVID-19 di Amerika Syarikat. Amerika melaporkan peningkatan sebanyak 62,000 kes baru COVID-19 pada Sabtu. Sepanjang urus niaga minggu lepas, ringgit telah diniagakan kebanyakannya tinggi disokong oleh pengumuman kadar dasar semalaman oleh Bank Negara Malaysia dan harga minyak yang tinggi. Pada Julai, BNM menurunkan kadar dasar semalaman sebanyak 25 mata asas lagi kepada 1.75%, rekod terendah sejak 2004. Penurunan OPR itu adalah ekoran kesan ketara pandemik COVID-19 ke atas ekonomi global. Ia merupakan penurunan kali keempat tahun ini membawa jumlah 125 mata asas sejak bermulanya tahun ini.
Dan dagangan kontrak hadapan minyak sawit mentah MSM di Bursa Malaysia derivatives dijangka meningkat pada minggu ini dengan harga sekitar RM2,350 hingga RM2,500 satu tan. Ini berikutan prestasi pasaran lebih positif serta keadaan stok simpanan yang berkurangan. Menurut peniaga bebas David Ng, data perdagangan lebih positif bagi Jun 2020 seperti mana diumumkan oleh Lembaga Minyak Sawit Malaysia serta jangkaan angka bagi 10 hari pertama Julai yang positif akan hanya memacu permintaan terhadap komoditi itu pada minggu ini. Dalam masa yang sama, ekspor minyak sawit pula meningkat 24.91% pada Jun 2020 bagi minggu yang baru berakhir. MSM diniagakan dalam pasaran tidak menentu dan seiring dengan prestasi saingan iaitu soya serta harga minyak mentah, pergerakan ringgit berbanding dolar Amerika dan data dagangan. Seterusnya, Speaker Dewan Perwakilan Amerika Nancy Pelosi yakin ahli Kongres mampu mencapai kompromi untuk melanjutkan pelan bantuan dan insurans pengangguran. Ini dengan peningkatan jumlah kes baru COVID-19 di Amerika yang dijangka akibatkan pembuangan pekerja kembali meningkat.
Pelan bantuan $600 seminggu pengangguran di Amerika akan berakhir pada 31 Julai. Sebelum ini, wakil Republikan melihat pelanjutan pelan berkenaan adalah tidak produktif. Menurut wakil Republikan, pelan ini telah berikan rakyat Amerika lebih banyak wang daripada mereka yang terima ketika bekerja. Jika pelan bantuan $600 seminggu itu dibatalkan, ia dijangka akan beri kesan kepada perbelanjaan isi rumah dan pemulihan ekonomi Amerika. Lebih 2/3 ekonomi Amerika disokong perbelanjaan pengguna seperti keluar makan dan beli belah. Bagi Demokrat, lanjutan $600 seminggu yang dicadangkan akan menyaksikan bantuan berkenaan terus diberikan sehingga kadar pengangguran di Amerika jatuh ke bawah paras 11%. Pada Jun, kadar pengangguran di Amerika adalah sekitar 11.1%. Namun dengan angka positif COVID-19 yang kini lebihi 3 juta di Amerika, jumlah pengangguran dijangka terus naik dengan lebih banyak negeri dijangka tutup kembali sesetengah perniagaan.
Dan seterusnya, jumlah kes positif COVID-19 di seluruh dunia merekodkan peningkatan lebih 200,000 kes baru dalam tempoh 24 jam. Menurut data terbaru daripada Johns Hopkins University, jangkitan setakat pagi ini mencecah 12.82 juta kes.
Amerika Syarikat tidak berubah dengan menjadi negara paling teruk terjejas dengan 3.28 juta kes positif. Ini diikuti Brazil dengan kes positif jangkitan sebanyak 1.83 juta kes. India dan Rusia melepasi angka jangkitan setengah juta dengan masing-masing merekodkan 849,000 dan 726,000 kes. Peru dan Chile pula masing-masing melepasi angka 300,000 kes positif COVID-19. 10 negara merekodkan angka positif melebihi 200,000 iaitu Mexico, United Kingdom, Afrika Selatan, Iran, Spanyol, Pakistan, Itali, Arab Saudi, Turki dan Perancis. 5 lagi negara merekodkan angka positif melebihi 100,000 iaitu Jerman, Bangladesh, Colombia, Kanada dan Qatar. Negara-negara lain masih merekodkan angka jangkitan COVID-19 di bawah 100,000.
Dalam masa yang sama, statistik daripada Johns Hopkins University juga menunjukkan angka kematian global akibat COVID-19 meningkat sebanyak 5,000 kes dalam tempoh 24 jam. Jumlah kumulatif kematian global kini lebih 567,000 kes.
Amerika Syarikat kekal merekodkan jumlah kematian tertinggi dengan 135,000 kes. Brazil dan United Kingdom berada di kedudukan kedua dan ketiga dengan masing-masing merekodkan 71,000 dan 44,000 kematian akibat COVID-19. Manakala Itali dan Mexico masing-masing catat angka kematian dengan 34,000 kes. Sementara itu, Perancis dan Spanyol masing-masing mencatatkan 30,000 dan 28,000 kes kematian COVID-19. India menjadi negara tertinggi di Asia catat kes kematian dengan lebih 22,000 kes. Negara-negara lain masih merekodkan angka kematian di bawah 12,000 kes.
Amerika menimbang pilihan yang terhad untuk tindakan ke atas China susulan kelulusan rang undang-undang keselamatan di Hong Kong. Menurut laporan The Wall Street Journal, ini di tengah-tengah hubungan China-Amerika yang tegang.
Laporan itu menyatakan Amerika harus berhati-hati kerana sebarang langkah ke atas sistem kewangan di Hong Kong akan berikan kesan kepada syarikat dan pekerja Amerika Barat dan Hong Kong. Dalam masa yang sama, ia menyatakan sekatan yang memfokuskan kepada pegawai kerajaan China hanya akan berikan impak yang kecil kepada Beijing. WSJ menyatakan pentadbiran Trump membincangkan pelan berkaitan isu Hong Kong pada Khamis dan dijangka akan umum sekatan atau tindakan lain dalam masa terdekat. Trump pada Jumaat turut tegaskan yang fasa kedua pelan dagangan China-Amerika dijangka tidak akan berlaku dan hubungan kedua negara telah jadi buruk susulan COVID-19. Pada minggu lepas, Washington kenakan sekatan ke atas setiausaha Parti Komunis Xinjiang. Beijing sifatkan sekatan berkenaan berikan kesan buruk kepada hubungan China-Amerika. China tegaskan mungkin kenakan tindakan balas ke atas organisasi dan pegawai Amerika.
Dan syarikat di serata dunia dijangka menambah hutang baru bernilai $1 trilion pada 2020. Ini dengan usaha untuk mengukuhkan kedudukan kewangan masing-masing susulan kesan COVID-19.
Menurut laporan Reuters, kajian berkenaan melibatkan 900 syarikat utama di serata dunia. 1 trilion hutang korporat baru ini akan akibatkan hutang korporat naik 12% kepada $9.3 trilion. Tahun lepas, peningkatan hutang adalah sekitar 8% susulan aktiviti pengambil alihan dan penggabungan dan pembelian balik saham dan dividen. Tahun ini adalah untuk memastikan aliran kewangan kukuh syarikat susulan penutupan aktiviti ekonomi di serata dunia akibat penularan COVID-19. Korporat beralih kepada pasaran bon untuk dapatkan aliran tunai. Ini berbanding pinjaman yang dilaporkan terbatas kecuali di negara yang ada sokongan pembelian hutang korporat oleh bank pusat. Ketika ini, menurut Reuters, pertumbuhan hutang adalah lebih pantas daripada pertumbuhan keuntungan. Syarikat Amerika dilaporkan mempunyai hampir separuh daripada hutang korporat dunia dan di tempat kedua adalah Jerman. Namun, tetap ada syarikat yang mempunyai simpanan yang tinggi seperti Alphabet.
Dan kita akan berhenti berehat seketika kembali selepas ini lebih banyak perbincangan berkenaan dengan pasaran Asia dan juga Asia Tenggara pada minggu ini. Dan Dan bertemu kembali, kita ingin melihat kepada perkembangan terkini pasaran Asia dan juga apakah faktor yang akan pengaruhi pasaran Asia untuk minggu ini. Kita bersama dengan Stephen Innes, Ketua Strategi Pasaran Global Exit Trade. Stephen, let's start with the most obvious. The rising number of new COVID-19 cases will touch 13 million sometime this week. This will make some countries or states in the US scale back the reopening of the businesses. Will this affect investor sentiment in Asia or Southeast Asia?
It's interesting. It doesn't seem to be having a material impact on the markets. There's some semblance here that the investors don't think that governments are going to reimpose draconian measures. And even now, compared to where we were in March, they think the protocols for addressing the spread of the virus are better in place right now. So we're not going to have a more prolonged effect. Whether this is true or not, we have to really wait to see how the evidence plays out. Right now, it's, you know, very, very troubling trying to dig out from underneath these case count numbers. It's quite staggering. However, the thought here is that if we start to address more social distancing, wearing masks, even the Federal Reserve Board is suggesting that people wear masks, it'll drop the unemployment level. So these are factors that have to be considered in the overall equation. When we're trying to analyze these markets, which are totally complicated, never seen anything like this in my life, and this is why it makes it so difficult forecasting markets with any high degree of certainty.
Mm-hmm. And President Trump has also said last week that the U.S.-China relationship is severely damaged by COVID-19, and he will not look at phase two of the trade deal with China. Would this add volatility in markets across Asia?
You would think it would, but it's not. I think the markets are pretty well understood that China will be a base of his political platform, so he's going to continue putting pressure on China because of the virus. He firmly believes that they caused the virus, either intentionally or unintentionally. That debate's going to linger on forever, probably. But the problem is that's the fact that we're in. I don't think the market was really counting on phase two of the deal to happen after this massive escalation that's been coming out of the White House, especially escalations towards the Hong Kong law affair. You know, that's a pretty gnarly, knotted mess in itself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, trade deal at this time, well, yeah, I don't think it's going to be that significant. But let's look at things in general, how the market's really going these days. You know, there seems to be this decoupling from supply chains right now where countries around the world are more internalizing the risks away from global supply chain. So internalizing demand, it's internalizing supply. Over here in Asia, they're trying to regionalize these events, trying to buttress themselves from the developed market risks. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the market needs that globalization really to fire in all cylinders. So the hope is here that trade continues to move forward after this gnarly, gnarly, gnarly mess that we found ourselves in as a result of the COVID-19 spread.
But let's dwell a bit more on that. Will this internalizing of demand and supply, will that maybe, how will that affect the overall demand and supply of products globally? Because you mentioned globalization, and I think looking at how countries in Southeast Asia and Asia are managing COVID-19, they are a bit more successful as opposed to some countries in the West. Would this maybe be a grace period where companies can look at Asia first before, you know, retargeting the West again in the the first quarter of 2021?
Well, it's an interesting comment. We're actually seeing U.S. multinational companies looking to move out of China but expand in Asian markets by recentering some manufacturing production, perhaps Malaysia, Vietnam, Thailand. This is quite interesting. I think they're really worried about the future spreads of other viruses that may come out. You know, this probably won't be the first major virus. That we've had many in the past, and it certainly won't be the last zoological-based virus that the markets or the world will have to deal with. And this is a real threat. So I think there is a move here, whether this is a retaliatory means or whether this is to safeguard supply chain. I think a lot of other Asian economies, particularly in Malaysia, stands to benefit from relocation of some manufacturing industries currently located in China into Malaysia.
And President Trump, you mentioned Hong Kong earlier. President Trump also look at punishing Beijing for the national security law in Hong Kong. What are investors saying in regards to this, looking at how Hong Kong is the one of the biggest financial markets in Southeast Asia or in Asia?
That's horrible, really. You know, when you think about it, you know, the gateway to the Far East really was always through Hong Kong. So this is quite a problem. How's it going to end up? Well, I think there's going to be a wave of a big exodus from the country, or sorry, from the city. It's going to weigh quite negatively. Look, the economies have changed. There's no real need for co-location other than front-facing client servicing, which will vary in Hong Kong. But whether, you know, the infrastructure trading rooms around the big financial markets will remain in Hong Kong, or whether they'll just be manned by scout and staff, it's wait to see. I just don't think there's a lot of appetite from these large companies to leave employees at risk. You know, it can make a mistake and end up in jail for years, and this is a problem. You know, what might be perceived as a simple mistake in the West could be a major mistake in the East, and, you know, they can't afford those risks. Where it's going to go, it's very difficult to tell. I'm quite negative over the long term on the Hong Kong prospects right now, especially around the real estate market. If these big companies decide to pull out, and there's viable options in the region, can move to KL, can move to Singapore, can move to even Bangkok. You know, there's lots of options in the area for these companies to relocate. So it's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds.
Speaking of the volatility and the uncertainty in the market moving forward, will investors maybe move to also safe havens, including gold and other commodities or government debts moving forward in the second half of 2020?
You know, the big drivers being the COVID-19 and the amount of stimulus that the central banks have had to apply to the market. So really, gold has been a big winner in that case. It's very high levels right now. I don't know if that appeal is going to continue. Most analysts think it will. I'm a little bit, you know, unsure once we reach higher levels, do we have a significant drop before we raise higher again? That's a great unknown here. We had news of a vaccine on Friday. That's not particularly positive news of vaccine results on Friday. That's not particularly enamoring for long gold positions. So we have to be very careful. I think what we're seeing in the markets right now is how do we hedge ourselves without the U.S. dollar, taking the U.S. dollar out of the equation? That's what the markets are trying to do. Ultimately, they think U.S. dollar is going to be weakened. So some of the alternatives are moving in are commodity prices. You know, so we look at, or I should say commodity markets. So we look at commodities like copper, for instance, which has continued to climb. This is all getting boiled back down to the way China is emerging out from the emerging from the COVID beatdown. China's doing very well. We look at last week, they started to try to stimulate the economy through the financial market. This is great for re-leveraging because private investment actually stirs the economy a lot quicker than government-imposed funding schemes. So this is a real boost. This is why we're starting to see commodity markets lift off. And there is that traction for investors to hedge into not only gold, but other commodity markets also.
Let's talk about ringgit, Stephen. I think last week we saw how Bank Negara reduced the OPR again for the fourth time this year. What do you make of that, and how will that affect ringgit? Because I think there were some analysts who said that, you know, the lowering of the interest rate will create volatility when it comes to for ringgit. Would that create volatility for ringgit moving forward?
I think, if anything, it's positive volatility. I think there's a disconnect here between how analysts are viewing markets these days. You know, traditionally, we look at interest rate differentials as the key driver on currency markets. To me, that's sort of new policy transmission. Is there? Sure, it's great in a sense for investors who are chasing real yields. Malaysia offers a great real yield because inflation is low. Bank Negara has kept rates arguably high for too long, and that's the issue right now. By dropping the interest rates, it does two things. First, it could potentially drive activity data up considerably higher. This is very attractive for foreign investors and foreign currency investors right now. But more to the point here, it also creates a very favorable environment for Malaysia bond markets right now. Lower interest rates spurs up demand for bonds. Right now, getting back to the high yield, the high real yield inflection point here, this is quite positive. So I see the ringgit actually trading quite positively, but fingers crossed, we have oil markets to deal with, and oil continues to rise. Got a big deal this week, got OPEC meeting this week, and This will decide whether they're going to keep the massive production cuts in place, or are they going to walk back at 2 million barrels per day of those production cuts. So this could be a risk to oil markets and risk to the ringgit markets this week. But I think overall we're going to see the ringgit trade positively into year end.
Thank you very much, Stephen Innes, Ketua Strategi Pasaran Global Exit Trade, membincangkan berkenaan dengan pasaran untuk minggu ini dan juga apakah yang dapat dijangkakan dalam pasaran untuk minggu ini. Dan seterusnya, kita teruskan laporan seterusnya. United Kingdom umum peruntukkan lebih 700 juta pound untuk menguruskan sempadannya selepas ia keluar dari Kesatuan Eropah akhir tahun ini. Menurut Menteri Kabinet Michael Gove, pakej pembiayaan akan membayar pos kawalan sempadan baru dan meningkatkan pengambilan kakitangan pasukan sempadan sebanyak 500 orang.
Kata Gove, matlamat utama adalah memastikan perjalanan operasi di sempadan lancar dan selamat.
Well, we're spending £700 million, just over £700 million, in order to make sure that our borders can enable the smooth flow of traffic, but also keep us safe. When people voted to take back control in the referendum 3.5 years ago, they wanted us to be in a position where we could trade with our neighbours in Europe, yes, but also have new trading relationships with other countries. In order to do that, that means that we need to have our borders upgraded in order to facilitate that trade. It's also the case that we want to make sure that we can have tough and secure borders to deal with organised crime and other security threats. And that's one of the reasons why we're investing in more border force personnel. The technology that we're investing in today will make it easier for people to do business and also fulfill the promise of taking back control which people voted for.
Isu keselamatan sempadan pasca keluar EU dinyatakan lebih awal dalam kempen pungutan suara pada 2016. Daripada 705 juta pound, 235 juta pound akan dimasukkan ke dalam sistem kakitangan dan teknologi maklumat IT. Manakala baki 470 juta pound akan dibelanjakan untuk tujuan infrastruktur bagi pemantauan prosedur kastam baru. Jelasnya, pelaburan itu juga akan memastikan bahawa perniagaan yang bergantung pada transit rentas sempadan dapat diteruskan seperti biasa ketika fasa peralihan 31 Disember 2020. Menjelang 1 Januari 2021, UK akan meninggalkan pasaran tunggal dan kesatuan kastam EU.
Seterusnya, Program Pembangunan Bangsa Bersatu UNDP memuji langkah Malaysia menaikkan had pendapatan garis kemiskinan PJK baru daripada RM980 kepada RM2,208. Wakil Presiden UNDP di Malaysia, Singapura dan juga Brunei, Niloy Banerjee berkata ia merupakan langkah progresif untuk memperoleh statistik yang lebih baik.
Niloy berkata ia sekaligus mampu membantu negara ini untuk merangka dasar yang lebih baik dan menyeluruh.
It's going to be that much easier to develop fairly targeted social protection policies, which is what Malaysia's next step in its development trajectory is. So there is this potential dividend of being able to design, for example, a very nice social protection policy, not only for B40, but also, as we saw during the recent crisis, the backsliding poor, people who are not traditionally poor, but who backslid during the crisis because it was because they lost access to income, such as e-hailing cab drivers.
Bagaimanapun, beliau menegaskan Malaysia perlu meneroka kontrak sosial yang baharu bagi memastikan kitaran kemiskinan dapat dihentikan.
People who don't have access to digital technology, for instance, fell back. So it's another new frontier of poverty, right? So what do we do here? We need to fundamentally rethink the social contract. How do we take care of people who are not able to take care of themselves or who are not equipped to be competitive in the modern economy and modern polity and society? So there's a little bit of a rethink required of how we think of the social contract. And in there, we need to really look at social protection programs, insurance programs, universal coverage programs.
Jumaat lalu, Menteri di Jabatan Perdana Menteri Ekonomi Datuk Sri Mustafa Mohamad mengumumkan PJK nasional yang dikeluarkan oleh Jabatan Perangkaan Malaysia menetapkan sebanyak RM2,208 bagi tahun 2019 berbanding RM980 sebulan sebelum ini. Angka berkenaan merupakan nilai PGK baharu yang diperolehi setelah kerajaan mengkaji semula metodologi pengiraan yang digunakan pakai sejak 2005.
Dan paparan itu mengakhiri Niaga Awani untuk pagi ini. Teruskan bersama kami di Astro Awani untuk perkembangan lanjut dalam dan juga luar negara serta perkembangan sidang Dewan Rakyat untuk mesyuarat kedua penggal ketiga Parlimen ke-14 hari pertama hari ini. Perbincangan tersebut sebentar saja lagi. Saya Rizal Zulkifli. Salam hormat. Thank you.